पृच्छता प्रश्नाय हरे कर्मा विवेचया ब्रूहि मे यस्य मित्रत्वात् आजया नष्ट चक्षुषः। माय डियर सेज, I have put all these questions before you with a view of knowing the pastimes of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the friend of all, so kindly describe them for all those who have lost their vision. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Vidura put forward many varieties of questions with a view of understanding the principles of transcendental loving service to the Lord. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, devotional service to the Lord is one, and the mind of the devotee is not diverted to the many branches of uncertainties. Vidura's purpose was to be situated in that service to the Lord, wherein one merges undivertedly. He claimed the friendship of Maitreya Muni not because he was Maitreya's son, but because Maitreya was actually the friend of all those who have lost their spiritual vision due to material influence. In this third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find in great depth the description of the historical dialogue that took place before the great Vidura and his Shiksha Guru, Maitreya Rishi. These two divine personalities set a stage in which all living beings within this rare and valuable human form of life could greatly learn from. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. Mahabharata describes how the path of real perfection is to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. There are 12 original Mahajans, and anyone who sincerely follows their example is also to consider to be a Mahajan. Of the 12 Mahajans, one is Yamaraj, who is the superintendent of death. He knows quite well, with great realizations, what is this material existence. There are so many sufferings in this world. In fact, Krishna explains in Sri Bhagavad Gita, Dukalayam Ashashvatam, that this material nature, it is a place of suffering. Everything is temporary here. Why not just take Krishna's word for it? He created material existence. He's maintaining it. He ultimately destroys it. He is the supreme manufacturer of every single thing within all of material existence. And he's also, by his multifarious energies, he's operating material nature. When Krishna says, Dukalayam Ashashvatam, it is a place of suffering because everything is temporary and you are eternal. It is a frustration for the eternal to be again and again and again frustrated by the temporary conditions of this world. We are Satchidananda. We are looking for eternal bliss. How can we find anything but frustration in a world of temporary conditions. Krishna explains, Abramavivanaloka punar avatanarjana manupetitukontaya punar janmadavidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, they are all places of suffering. He doesn't say they are all places of happiness. They are all places of suffering. What to speak of making a nice arrangement for our life in this earth planet? Even Brahma Loka, where you can live billions of years with no disease and so much luxury, still Krishna says it's a place of misery, because when your karma expires, whoop, you have to leave it all. It's all taken away. And to the degree you're attached to something, it's painful when you have to lose it. And you will lose it. But there is some pleasure in this world. So how is it, Krishna says, there's nothing but suffering? When we see there is pleasure, we eat something nice, we think, oh, this is so pleasurable. Or we see something nice, or we possess something nice, or we touch something nice, and we're actually experiencing pleasure. What to speak of? The pleasure of the mind, the pleasure of the heart, affectionate relationships. So why, Krishna says, nothing but suffering, when we see so many people trying to enjoy, and even some of them are actually enjoying? Why, Krishna says, nothing but suffering? He's the absolute truth. He knows. He's created. Is it going wrong? Is something wrong with this material world? Is it out of Krishna's control? He says it's a place of suffering, but I'm enjoying. Can on the material platform we transcend the laws of nature? Not at all. Yehi samsparashaja bhoga dhuka jonaya vitai. Krishna explains in Gita the secrets of material existence. When we know Gita, we know things as it is. The pleasures in this world are actually meant only for the purpose of causing our suffering. If there was only suffering, you would be chanting Hare Krishna so much you would go back to Godhead. But there's enough pleasure to keep you in the world of suffering. The pleasures are only meant to keep you in a condition of suffering. That is reality. That is fact. But Maya is so much an expert cheater. She's making us think that this is happiness. If someone comes to you and in a nice glass of kheer, they put enough poison to kill 1,000 people, they say, here is some kheer. It's very sweet, and it has very first-class milk from cows, and there's camphor, just a pinch of camphor, and there's also nice first-class saffron imported from Spain. And there's also cardamom seeds that we have grown on our own farm organically. And the cup that I'm giving it to you of is pure 22 karat gold. Drink this kheer. However, I put enough poison in it to kill 1,000 people. Will you drink it? Everyone's drinking it. We may say no, but we drink. Because it tastes good. And after we drink it, the poison doesn't take effect for some time. While we're drinking it, we're thinking, this tastes so good. I'm enjoying how much my tongue is satisfied. Such a pleasure for the tongue is something that takes so many births to achieve. I'm so happy. He said poison. What is this poison? I'm enjoying. And then it slowly goes down into your stomach and coats it with all sorts of nice feelings and sensations. This is very nice. Let me drink more and more and more. But it's just a matter of time till the poison takes effect. Then you're choked up, you suffer, you lay on the ground, you cry for help, you call for the doctor, the doctors can't help, no one can help, and then you die miserably. That's material life. If it didn't taste good, you wouldn't drink it. If someone tells you it's poison, you wouldn't drink it unless you like the taste of it. So what is the pleasure? The pleasure is only the means of causing you to suffer anymore. Does this make sense? So that is the purpose of the pleasures in this world. Krishna tells us in Gita, he tells us in Bhagavatam, Jesus tells us in the Bible, Muhammad tells us in the Holy Quran, Buddha tells us in the Buddhist Shastras, Sutras, Ram tells us in Ramayana. Every great scripture in the world tells us ultimately that this is a world of death. It is a world of pain. Don't try to enjoy your senses. Try to give Krishna enjoyment. Devotional service, that is real pleasure. But yet Maya presents the poison in a golden cup in a very, very delicious preparation. So therefore, when Krishna says nothing but suffering, he understands that the pleasures are actually only meant to make us suffer. So an intelligent person realizes that pleasure actually is suffering. It's binding us to more suffering. But yet we're mad after the pleasures. Even here in India, where practically everyone knows what is Bhagavad Gita, what is the words of the great sages, still we are mad for the pleasures of this world and for those things that can somehow or other facilitate pleasures of this world. But is Krishna wrong? Krishna's words are perfect. And the pains of this world are due to our acting for material enjoyment, and inevitably it's just a matter of time that we must engage in some sort of sinful activities. Even if you're trying to be so pious, King Murga, he was so pious, but unavoidably he engaged in a sinful activity. It's the nature of this world, it's so complex. You could try to do the best for everyone, but something will happen beyond your control that will complicate so many things, and you realize you have done wrong. And who is the person who personally arranges for the punishment of the sinful? Yamaraj. He has his whole army of Yamadutas, not just a few. He has an army of Yamadutas who are dispatched throughout the entire universe collecting people. And the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes what they do to people who are not following the laws of the Supreme. When you read the fifth canto, it's very much frightening. For a child who doesn't take things seriously, especially in the Western world where they like violence, fifth canto, if they made a television show called The Fifth Canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it would be the number one show in all of the world. If they made a movie about the tortures described in the hellish existence of the fifth canto, it would be bestseller. People would be buying tickets everywhere. Because people, they take enjoyment in seeing these kinds of things. But it's all terrible. And Yamaraj is the one who's watching over it. So he knows what is material life.
He sees you enjoying and he gives you the result. Hare Krishna. So he's one of the great Mahajans. And he has so mercifully come to this world as Vidura. And as Vidura, he wants to show us the way of real happiness. So he is approaching Maitreya Rishi with such humility, with such a sincere desire to serve, requesting, please tell me the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Because everyone who has lost their vision in this world can once again regain their real vision. But it is only possible through hearing from great, great personalities in parampara as they describe the pastimes of Lord Krishna. When he says, lost their vision, you cannot lose something that you never had. In order to lose something, you have to have had that thing in the past. Spiritual vision of the Supreme Lord's pastimes, spiritual vision of our eternal nature in relationship with God, we all had it, and we still have it, but we have lost memory of it. It's not like losing something in this world where you lose it and you no longer have it. You may have so much money, but then something may go wrong with the stock market or some thief may come and take it away, and then you don't have it anymore. You have no access to it anymore. There's nothing you can do. It's gone. But this vision is eternal. It is the nature of our soul to see God, to know God, to love God, to be in happiness, to see everything in the spiritual sense of Vaikuntha. Srila Prabhupada was seeing Vaikuntha everywhere. For our purpose, he was talking about the miseries of this world, but underlying it is simply Krishna, the source of all bliss. If you just scrape below material ignorance, what do you find? Krishna, the all-attractive, all-merciful, all-loving personality of Godhead who has such deep, intimate affection for you, who wants to just give you unlimited joy forever. That's his only business. He's Rasaraj. He's not Yamaraj. He's Rasaraj. In this material world, he manifests Yamaraj. But if you scrape slightly below Yamaraj, there's Rasaraj. So which do we want? Do we want to know God as Yamaraj? Or do we want to know God as Rasaraj? Should we take a vote? Election. How many would like to always see Krishna as Yamaraj? Raise both of your hands and say Hari Bol. How many would prefer to eternally relate to him as Rasaraj? So we have to go beneath this Yamaraj covering. But we're not willing to do that. That is our problem. Transcendental knowledge of Krishna, who is everywhere and in everything and controlling the entire existence, material and spiritual. It is the soul to see that. If you have good vision, you can see everything as it is. If your eyes are covered with a cataract, all you see is the cataract. You can't see what's right in front of you. You can't see what's on the other side of that cataract. A person with a cataract has not lost his vision. His vision is just covered. It's separated by something else. Correct? Otherwise, if you remove the cataract, people would be blind. You remove it and they see. So in the same situation, that vision of Krishna, the all-attractive supreme enjoyer who's giving everyone unlimited enjoyment, that vision is in our heart. We have not lost it. We have lost memory of it. We have lost connection to what is there. So it's as good as not having it at all, for all practical purposes. If you have 100 crores of rupees, but you don't know where it is, then what is the use of 100 crores of rupees? You'll be eating chickpeas on the side of the road. But if someone tells you where it is, then you can eat nice prasad of so many varieties. So this is the problem. We have lost our memory of our vision. And how to revive the memory of that vision? Vidura is, by his example, teaching us. We must, first of all, admit, I have lost my vision. You will not search for something if you don't realize that you've lost it. Unless you understand there's a need, you will not strive to fulfill that need. So the first stage is to understand something is wrong with me, anymore. In this material world, it is our nature to think something is wrong with everyone else except me. We may say something is wrong with me, just to show people how right we are by being so humble. But actually, the nature of this world is to think I am right and everyone else is wrong. But the nature of spiritual consciousness is to begin, I am wrong. This is how Bhagavad Gita begins. Arjuna is telling Krishna, I'm right. And as long as he thought he was right, he was an illusion. And that rightness just... the cycle of this material world is ego leads to suffering. So that cycle took place on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Arjuna could not even hold his bow. The greatest, most powerful warrior in the world could not even hold, what to speak of shoot it, he couldn't even hold it. The mighty hands of Arjuna, who is meant to conquer the greatest, He defeated practically Lord Shiva in battle. This was Arjuna. But in his bewildered state, he didn't even have the strength to hold the bow from falling down. Hare Krishna. In that condition, Arjuna said, I have no vision. I am fool number one. Please instruct me. And Krishna said, yes, you are fool number one. I will instruct you. It is not just a formality that we say, I am a fool. We actually have to think it. Unless you understand you lost something, you will not put energy into finding it. And to the degree you put energy into finding Krishna, to that degree he will reveal himself to you. So this is the beginning of spiritual life. To admit and understand, I have lost the most precious thing in all life. I have lost my relationship with God. I have forgotten. And then to approach someone who can help us find it. And who is that person? Not just anybody who is giving whatever ideas are coming out of their fertile brains. It is someone who is repeating the message of the Supreme Lord. One who is reciting the pastimes of the Lord. One who is teaching the words of the Lord by speaking and by example. So Vidura is approaching Maitreya Rishi. I have lost my vision. You are the friend of everyone
because you are given that vision back.
And how are you giving it back?
By explaining the pastimes of Lord Hari.
And one who asks questions in regard to the pastimes of Lord Hari with a sincere and humble heart,
that person will have all vision.
It will be restored. The cataract of ignorance will be removed once and for all. Srimad Bhagavatam is simply a series of questions and answers. And we find even the greatest personalities, they participate in this series of questions and answers. Parikshit Maharaj was the king of the world. Yet so humbly he was submitting himself to inquire from Shukadev Goswami Maharaj. Please instruct me. And the author of Srimad Bhagavatam was Veda Vyas. Srila Vyasadeva is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He's all-knowing. He's Trikala Gya. He knows everything, past, present, and future. Yet Vyasadeva, due to compassion and love for all living beings, he felt that he was not performing his service properly. Therefore, his Guru Maharaj, Narada Muni, he approached, I don't know why, but I'm not happy. Please instruct me. Please tell me the pastimes of the Lord. If Veda Vyas is inquiring from his Guru about the pastimes of the Lord with a sincere and humble heart, then what is everybody else's position? He is doing it to teach us. Similarly, Lord Sri Ram was inquiring when Vishwamitra Muni took them into the forest, Ram and Lakshman, in order to help eliminate the obstacles in his yajna. Ram was asking, please tell me, what is the story of how the Ganga came down to this earth? Please tell me, Guru Maharaj. And what is the story about this stone that I touched with my foot and she turned into a woman? Please tell me these pastimes of the Lord. Tell me about the different incarnations. So the great souls behave in such a way to teach the ordinary living beings. And this process of hearing the pastimes of the Lord is the most powerful means of reviving our memory of Krishna and our relationship with Krishna. Because Krishna's pastimes are transcendental. They are of a spiritual nature. They awaken our spiritual inclinations. The stories of this world, they may give us some pleasure to our mind, but they further bewilder us. However, the pastimes of the Lord, they not only give pleasure to the mind, but they awaken. They awaken the sleeping soul. So that is difference. There may be so many books in the marketplace, and we may enjoy reading these books. They may be very fascinating, nice stories, but they do nothing to the soul, except perhaps further entangle it in forgetfulness of the Lord. But when we read the pastimes of Krishna or Ram or any of the avatars, or we read the pastimes of Krishna's devotees who are engaged in devotional service, it awakens the soul's memory, awakens the soul's perception of Krishna, who is everywhere and in everything. Therefore, human civilization, which is centered around hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the names and glories of the Lord,
is actually
human civilization, which is centered around hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the names and glories of the Lord, is actually a progressive civilization. It is progressive civilization is not simply better sanitary conditions for passing stool and urine. That's nice. But actually, I will tell you, when I was living in New Vrindavan years and years ago, we had no sanitary arrangements by material calculations. Our plumbing system was a shovel. Does everyone know what a shovel is? What is Hindi for shovel? Yes, like that. That was our whole sanitary condition. And it was only about this big. The handle was this big, and the spade was about this big. It was from the United States Army. Before that, we were using our hands to dig into the ground. It was a regulation. You have to go so many feet down. Then someone who was in the Vietnam War, he brought a little shovel with him from the army. And that was for the next 10 years, that was our entire sanitation department, was that shovel. It was so simple. And everything was so clean. You just have to go at least down a little hill, which was about maybe 20 yards, 30 yards from the temple where anyone lived. And you just went down the hill and you dug a hole. And then what do you put in the hole? No need to describe. It's the law of nature. What goes in comes out. So then you covered it. Hare Krishna. And nobody ever saw anything that was unpleasing to the eyes. And no one was getting sick. We were all so healthy and nice. Here in Bombay, so many nice toilets are being made and everybody's sick. Chicago, New York, so much sickness, everyone is so... So progressive civilization is not simply creating better material facilities. Progressive civilization is actually to the degree human beings take pleasure in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Because to the degree we take pleasure, we develop a taste, higher taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, to that degree all good qualities will awaken within us. Devotees of Krishna are never against modern arrangements. We simply, whether we have it or don't have it, we use it for the proper purpose, to somehow or other create an atmosphere that is conducive to increasing our desire to hear, chant the glories of the Lord. As you are hearing and chanting the pastimes and glories of the Lord, naturally, the desire to serve the Lord, the desire to serve all living beings awakens in the heart. And this is real happiness. To serve is happiness. To try to enjoy is simply a condition of contamination. Give me more, more, more. But however much you get, you need more and more and more. Enjoying is a suffering condition. Serving is a really enjoying position. So to the degree we find our pleasure in service, to that degree we'll actually find inner fulfillment in our life. to the degree we understand what is service. What is the soul? Who is the soul of others? What is our constitutional position? Then our service has great, great charm to our heart. So therefore, it is so very important that we make our goal in life to develop a higher taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, says, whatever occupation you have, whatever duties you are performing to family, society, or the world itself, if it is not awakening your desire to hear the glories of the Lord, this is actually what the verse says, if it is not awakening your desire to hear the pastimes of the Lord, then shrameyavih kevalam. It is all simply a waste of your precious human existence. So therefore, we rise every morning, we chant japa, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and then with that idea in our mind, we perform our work, but we're performing our work in pursuance of developing a higher taste for Krishna consciousness and helping others to do the same. Yamaraj, his work is very difficult. But actually, in his heart of hearts, when he's seeing all these people screaming in pain as they're being ripped apart, in his heart of hearts, he's thinking, actually, I'm helping this person to develop a taste for hearing about Krishna. Eventually, if this person goes on suffering due to the chewing the chewed of material subjects and material life, eventually, let him come to his senses and chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare.
He's actually doing service to Krishna, and he's even doing service to the people who are suffering. Very difficult to understand. But his mood is simply a well-wishing, compassionate, loving servant. It's not a nice service, but it's a service, a necessary service. So Vidura is teaching us by his wonderful example and words. What is it? We hear the glories of the Lord, we hear the beautiful, charming pastimes of the Lord. Why we are not attracted? How is it that Krishna books in your house, Srimad Bhagavatam's in your house, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita's in your house, all these ambrosial, nectarine pastimes of the Lord, and it's sitting on the shelf and you turn on your television. The books are calling, read me! And the television's saying, watch me! There's a battle. Prabhupada wrote Bhagavad Gita as it is. People buy the Bhagavad Gita. They're meant to read it as it is, not leave it on the shelf as it is. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, so let it be as it is. How is it we have all this nectar and we're still so much charmed by the pastimes of this material world? It's because due to long standing habit of chewing the chew, puna punashcharavata charavananam, we're just conditioned to thinking this is happiness. However, what is the medicine to hear again and again? The simple example that Prabhupada has told, we have heard it so many times. When you have jaundice, sugarcane juice tastes bitter, but actually it's sweet.
And as you're drinking it, you become cured of the disease of jaundice.
So no matter what it tastes like, whether it's sweet like nectar or whether it's bitter like medicine, you have to go on drinking it. By drinking it, you develop a taste.
Srindatam sukata krishna punya sravana kirtanam.
Krishna says in Bhagavad that one who takes pleasure in hearing the glories of the Lord, Krishna is so pleased with that person that from within the heart cleans away all the misgivings that are the cause of all of our problems in this world. But how? How to develop that taking pleasure in hearing the glories of the Lord?
Through two processes. One is by serving the great souls.
By serving the great souls, Krishna is pleased and gives us that higher taste. And the other, which is essential, is to go on hearing. Just go on hearing, go on chanting, and go on serving. Such a simple process. And gradually the taste for the higher realm of consciousness awakens in our heart. And to the degree that awakens, our taste for the lower, temporary, wasteful activities and pleasures goes away. So let us take very seriously to regularly hear the glories of the Lord. Nasta praeshya bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. One who regularly hears Srimad Bhagavatam, all undesirable things are cleansed from the heart. The taste for serving Krishna with love awakens within our heart. So how important it is, on a regular basis, to seek our happiness in life in hearing Krishna's glories, in chanting Krishna's glories, in serving Krishna's glories. Hearing, chanting, and rendering service is such a pleasing, wonderful, pure life. This is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nitya Krishna, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunoi, Sravanadi Sudhijiti Koriya Yudoi. Pure, ecstatic love of God is within the heart of everyone. By hearing and chanting His glories and names and associating with His devotees, that love is awakened. It is a gradual process, but it is a certain process.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions? We'll be completely covered with chandan today. It's a wonderful festival. Yes.
Maharaj, talking about the importance of hearing and chanting. Basically, there are 9 processes of devotional service. The scriptures have said that you can perfect your life in any one of the processes of devotional service.
Yes.
And if a devotee doesn't have a taste of hearing, but he has a taste of any other devotional service, will he be able to perfect his spiritual life, or he will not be able to perfect his spiritual life?
What do you think?
No.
No? Why?
All the 8 other processes of devotional service is dependable on hearing.
Question is answered. Any other question? Yes.
You said in your class that if there is no pleasure in between and only suffering, everyone will chant Hare Krishna and think of Krishna and go back to Him. And why that pleasure is given in between?
What do you think? You speak something. You are intelligent, educated young man. Prominent counselor, what do you think?
maybe because we have committed so many sinful activities, so to give the results of our sinful activities.
Very well. Your question is, why is there pleasures? Why does Krishna create pleasures? Because if there was not pleasures, there would be no free will. Krishna gives pleasures so that you do I want to enjoy being separate from Krishna? Or do I want to be enjoyed by Krishna? To love means to be enjoyed. So if there was nothing to enjoy, there would be no facility for you to try to enjoy separate from Krishna. So Krishna has created love in the most perfect way. And the perfection is he gives you the freedom not to love. But that facility of freedom not to love comes through giving enjoyment separated from himself. But because it's not the nature of the soul, it actually is suffering. Does that answer your question? There you go. Is there any other questions? Yes, Mataji. This will be our last question for today.
Maharaj, this small independence, what we have is the cause of all the problems. But I personally feel when we don't give independence to our children till they are 18 or whatever it is, we give them house key and all that.
Hmm?
We give independence to our children when they are matured.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't allow them to stay late at night or whatever it is. Then why Krishna gives us independence when we are so immature, so foolish, so that we do all wrong things?
Your children have independence. Whether you know it or not, they have it. You may say, I'm not giving you independence, but they don't have to do what you say. You may say, you are a young child, I give you no independence, you cannot stay out late at night. But they can stay out late at night. You are not the supreme controller. Correct? You tell them what's best for them. In that way you may think you're taking away their independence, but they can still do against what you say. You can say, no independence, you are not allowed to eat meat. But can you stop your child from eating meat? Even when they're little children in school, they can run to buy some. You cannot see them everywhere. Correct? So similarly, Krishna tells us what to do. But still, we have the freedom to not do. So does your child. Is that correct? You may be limiting their independence, but still, they can act according to their own misuse of free will at any time. You can tell the child, you cannot stay out late at night. In fact, I will lock the doors. So then you're thinking, now the child has to act according to my will. But then you go in the room and you see everything in your house is broken to pieces. So the child did not act according to your will. So every living being has freedom. Even a prisoner in a cell has freedom. He can write Bhagavad Gita slokas on the wall, or he could write all sorts of other words on the wall. Nobody can stop. And if you say, well, I won't let him, I will tie his hands and hold him like this so he can't go anywhere, he can't do anything, he can't say anything, but still you have independence what you think. So there's no power in this world that can take anyone's independence away. because Krishna has made the soul with free will. And the proper use of our free will is to serve the Lord, to hear the glories of the Lord, to awaken our love for the Lord. And it's so nice. Just dance, take prasad, and chant Hare Krishna. How Krishna is dancing with gopis, and how Krishna is killing Aristasura, and how Krishna is playing with his friends, how Krishna is incarnating as a tortoise and a boar and a lion. Hear how Krishna is performing so many wonderful activities and what he's speaking. This is the glory of human existence. To hear and chant the glories of the Lord, and to make this the center focus of all of our life's activities. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.